Good morning. Today's daf in Nedarim Ayin Vav. We're here in the 10th parak of the Masechta. We're finishing up. A couple more days to go here in this 10th parak. And Hafara has been the topic du jour. Not only topic du jour, it's been the topic for last week. We can change. Here it's a sizable parak in which we are introduced ourselves to the world of Hafara. A husband or a father could be Mefer. And again, that's an oversimplification. But the basic idea over here is that one has a right as long as you have bailus on a neder, so you can be made for the neder. As we learned in yesterday's Gemara, hafara is not like hatara. In other words, hatara, you go to a chacham and he's mati you from the neder, but hafara, in other words, there doesn't have to be an explanation that's given. In other words, under certain circumstances, as long as the neder qualifies. And we will talk in the upcoming parak, in the 11th parak of the Masechta, 11th and final parak of the Masechta, we're going to talk about which nedarim actually qualify towards hafara, but as long as it qualifies, that's it, you can be mefer. Okay, so yesterday we had a really interesting discussion and debate between Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachamim, regarding hafara in advance. Can I be mefer as a preventative? Can that happen? Now, Hakama, the Gemara said, everyone's in agreement that you can't be make him in advance. Hakama only works once the neder is chal. So she makes a neder. The daughter, the wife makes a neder, and you want to be mekayim the neder. So everyone's of the opinion that Hakama can only occur after the neder was made. It's a dever pashut, it's a dever muskam. No argument over there. However, hafara. Can you do hafara in advance? So typically, of course, what happens is that the neder is made, and then when the husband hears the neder, he's made for the neder. Right? After the neder is made. That's typically what happens. Rabbi Eliezer says, okay, so what I'd like to do now is I'd like to construct the following argument. And that is, if hafara works in order to break the neder, so certainly hafara can be used as a preventative of the neder. And that means to say that what you'll do is you'll lay down the hafara beforehand, and so therefore at a later point in time, she makes a neder, the neder now will be mufar based on the hafara that you gave in advance. That's the argument to Rabbi Eliezer. We're going to call that a kavachomer. Good. The Chachamim dismiss it. Now, the dismissal of the Chachamim we heard yesterday, we're going to hear again today. Could be the Chachamim think that the argument is a sound argument. It could be. I don't know. In today's Gemara, we're going to hear a number of times where basically the Chachamim are rejecting the argument. Okay. So, but nevertheless, it could be a good argument. It couldn't be a good argument. But what did the Chachamim finally say back to Rabbi Eliezer? We saw it yesterday. We'll see it again later today. And that is a Hekesh. The Torah says that the husband's going to be Mekayim, the husband's going to be Mefer. And based on the fact that they both Hakama and Hafara are both contained within the same Pasuk, and we know Hakama cannot be done in advance, so the same thing is going to be true with Hafara. Meaning what we have over here is a Hekesh is going to trump a Kavachomer. That's the, that would be the counter argument. It's not a counter argument so much as it's that we have various ways of being Malamed. We have various ways in which we Darshan. Kavachomer is the weakest, one of the weakest of the ways in which you can darshan. And meanwhile, Hekesh is one of the strongest ways you could darshan. So if I have a Kavachomer versus a Hekesh, obviously we're going to side with the Hekesh over the Kavachomer. Okay. All this is what we saw over the course of yesterday's daf. And then yesterday we got involved in the following question. Lumdus. Real Lumdus question. And that's the following. According to Rabbi Lazar, where Hafara can be used as a preventative, so you lay down a Hafara before she makes a neder. And then she makes a neder. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, that hafara now can be applied towards the neder, even in advance. Good. So what's the pshat according to Rabbi Eliezer? The Gemara gives two possibilities. One is that the preventative hafara totally prevented the neder from ever materializing at all. Bechlal. That's one possibility. The other possibility is no. Is that when she makes a neder, so the neder now will materialize for a moment. And then his hafara that he laid down in advance is going to go ahead and break the neder. Okay. So it's a real lumdish question in terms of hafara in advance according to Rabbi Eliezer. Does it block it altogether or no? In other words, it's there for a moment and then it's going to get knocked out by the hafara. Lamai nafkamina, in other words, it's a great lumdish question. What's the practical difference? So the Gemara pointed out yesterday, hatfasa. In other words, somebody comes along and says, in that moment in time, and again, by the way, how do you catch that moment in time? It could be that you said b'toch kedei di, but the Gemara doesn't make that point. Anyway, but even conceptually, so if the neder is chal for just a moment, so somebody can grab onto that neder and be matfis. In other words, one of the ways of making a neder is by echoing, mimicking what somebody else did. Somebody else is a nazir, and I look at him, and I point at him, and I say va'ani, and I want to do the same thing as well. Fine, you just made yourself a neder. That's called hatfasa. So over here, would hadfasa work on that moment of time? So okay, so it depends. So if we're working that according to Rabbi Eliezer, the preventative doesn't allow it to materialize at all. So that's it. There's no room for hadfasa. Not for a moment in time does it materialize. Mashain Kane, if it takes place for just a moment, so you could be matfis on that moment. Good. So that would be the nafkamina between the two ways of looking at Rabbi Eliezer. So what we did yesterday, Tashma. So we looked at Bryce's yesterday that allowed us to see whether or not Rabbi Eliezer believes that the preventative prevents it altogether, or the preventative allows it to materialize for a moment and then knocks it out. Which way is correct? Which is the right way to look at a preventative hafara according to Rabbi Eliezer? So yesterday we went through a couple of rounds. And what we're going to do today, same thing. We're going to do today, for most of today's daf, is that we're going to go through a couple of brisas. Again, the brisas give us a little dialogue between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer. And what we're going to see together is that basically, based on the Lashonos of the brisa, it would indicate one way or another whether the preventative for Rabbi Eliezer is legamre or no, not legamre. In other words, the neder will be there for a moment, knocked out by the alfara. With all that said, let's pick up where we left off yesterday. Amrullah, right? Tashma Amrullah. Ayin Hey Amud Beis is where we left off yesterday. 75b, and it is about five lines from the bottom of the Amud, starting with the words Tashma, the end of the line. Amrullah le Rabbi Eliezer. So they say to Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, so in other words, here's what we know. Meaning in this dialogue, so they're talking to Rabbi Eliezer. So they, of course, is the Chachamim, and the Chachamim do not accept this argument. And again, I know I equivocated on that point just moments earlier. Meaning maybe they accept the argument, but the Hekesh trumps the argument. But over here in this Brisa, I'm going to say it simply, because clearly this is how the Brisa is working. They do not accept this argument. So Amar lo le Rabbi Eliezer u'ma mikvah shemalasa tamei mitumasam ein matzel al torah milatamei. So let's take a look at a mikvah. Okay? Now when it comes to a mikvah, so what can a mikvah do? So a mikvah can be metahir. Meaning when something already now is tamei, so you put in the mikvah, and the mikvah is metahir. Now, can mikvah be a preventative? Of course the answer is no. Of course. In other words, you go into the mikvah, now not only am I tahor from what happened in the past, but I'm going to be tahor from that which is going to happen. Of course not. And that's exactly what the Chachamim say to Rabbi Eliezer. So, ma mikvah shemala satamei mitomasam in matzel ala tahorim mili tamei. Okay. Now, this next line of the Brisa is going to be a little bit tricky. The Ran really tries on a number of different girsos over here. I'm going to read our version of the Gemara, and I'm going to explain it according to our version of the Gemara. Again, the Ran really spends a lot of time over here. You could see. Right, there's a lot of run between today's daf and yesterday's daf and today's daf. Okay, so he really struggles in terms of what the right gear say is. But I'm just going to read what we have in our Gemara. Adam she malas atamei mitumasam eino din hu shelo yatzel ala torah milatame. So when it comes to Adam, which is ein mala es atameim mitumasam, is not going to be mala atameim from tuma. Okay, now what exactly does that mean? It means the following. Let's say a person were to swallow a ring. Okay. Right. In other words, don't try this at home. Okay. It's a small ring and let's just assume that it'll successfully end up making its way through the GI tract. Okay. Over here, it's an unusual, description, but it's just simply a way of describing what's called tuma belua. Okay. What do we know? So we know that when something is absorbed within something else, so that's what's called tuma belua. Tuma belua now means, that when it's inside and it's balua and it's absorbed inside of you, so therefore it is not going to be benefiting from the mikvah, right? And by the way, it works in both directions. In other words, it works when you swallow the ring, which was tameh, that when you go into the mikvah is not going to be metarin. It also works if you were to swallow a ring, which is tahor, and you go to a mikvah, and you touch something, which is tameh, the ring is not going to become tameh. Okay, this is the concept of balua. So, the Braisa just simply points out over here, Adam Shein Malas Atamei Mitumasam. So, when a person is not Malas Atamei Mitumasam, so, Eino Din Shalo Yatzil Al HaTahorim Mi Li Tamei. So, certainly he's not going to be in a position to be able to save something Tahor from becoming Tamei. Okay. So, over here, so, regardless of what exactly is the correct shot over here in the second part of the Braisa, what comes out from the Brisa is as follows. The Chachamim are rejecting Rabbi Eliezer. That part we hear. But the part now that we're going to be super sensitive to is the language used in the Brisa. In the Brisa, what does it say? It says, Shelo yatzel ala taharim mili tamei. Meaning, what it's not going to do is it's not going to save it from becoming tamei. Meaning that the tumah will not take place at all. Oh. So in other words, when Rabbi Eliezer is making the argument that hafara works not only as a measure of clearing a neder, but preventing a neder. So you see from the counter argument provided by the Chachamim, their understanding of Rabbi Eliezer is that as a preventative, it would prevent it from coming at all. Oh. In other words, right, not a moment of time. So Shema Mina, lo chaylin. So the Gemara says, okay, so there's no chalos whatsoever. Meaning clearly you see that from the Chachamim's counter argument to Rabbi Eliezer. So I'm a sefer. So the Gemara says, good. That was wonderful. I'm going to keep reading on in the Braisa. Amru lo Rabbi Eliezer. So they say to Rabbi Eliezer, meaning either this is a hemshech of the previous Braisa or it's just simply another Braisa. Either way, what it is that it's the Chachamim deconstructing the argument of Rabbi Eliezer. And that is Amru lo Rabbi Eliezer, Yematbilin Kli Tamei, Li Taher, Yatbilu Kli, Lichishiyitma Li Taher. So over here, let's say you use a mikvah for a keli. Okay, so the keli's tame. So you put the tame kli into the mikvah, and the kli now becomes tahar. Good. That was easy. So why not, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer, make the following argument? Okay, so now, if the mikvah is able to clear the tuma that already was here, so how about this? How about the mikvah is able to help you prevent from oncoming tuma? So that means to say that I'll take the kli, which currently right now is not tamei, I'll put it in the mikvah, and then later, when the kli becomes tamei, so it should become tahor. Oh, okay, fine. So in other words, the mikvah should work as a preventative. I know we kind of expressed this idea in the previous brisa, but again, the reason why we're going through these brisas over here is because of the language employed by the brisa. Meaning, what should the mikvah do, according to you, Rabbi Eliezer? It should prevent. But in the language used in the Braisa, look carefully. It says, second line, so litaher yatbilu kli, lichishe yitma litaher. Ah, so let's put the kli in the mikvah so that later, when it becomes tameh, it'll become tahor. Ah, so in other words, what are you hearing over here? What you're hearing is that there's a chalos, and it'll be for just a moment, and then it'll be gone. So now we're trying to dun on Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer, how far as a preventative? Does it mean that there's no chalos? Or does it mean that's chal for just a minute, for a moment? And what did we just learn together? Conflicting reports in the brisas. Meaning we just learned two brisas together, and in both of them we hear the Chachamim dismissing Rabbi Eliezer. And again, the fact that they're arguing with Rabbi Eliezer is not surprising. What is surprising is the language that's used in both of the brises. In brisa number one, it sounds like there's no chalos whatsoever. In brisa number two, it sounds like there's chalos for just a moment. So the Gemara says, Shema mina chaylin. So Amri Rabban lokaim luhum b'tam de Rabbi Lazar. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's how it works. It's very simple. You know how we had a suffix in terms of how to understand Rabbi Eliezer? So did the Chachamim. Chachamim had the same suffix. And therefore, according to the Chachamim, so you're going to get Lashonos that would indicate either way, because they didn't know. They didn't know how to properly understand Rabbi Eliezer. V'hachi karmelei, my svirlach, I svirlach techailin v'teilin tavikli tiyuvtech. I lo svirlach techailin tavim mikvah tiyuvtech. So good. So in other words, you want to say it's chal? I have a challenge for that. You want to say it's not chal at all? I have a challenge for that. So because the Chachamim were unclear, so they pose challenges to Rabbi Eliezer from multiple sources. Either way you understand Rabbi Eliezer is going to get challenged. Okay, Tashma. Okay, so here we're going to go one more round. So again, what we're trying to wrap our heads around is the following. According to Rabbi Eliezer, hafara works as a preventative, right? Which in of itself is an unbelievably interesting idea. And what we're trying to understand is that hafara as a preventative, does it mean that it blocks it altogether? There will not be a chalos neder at all, or alternatively, no. In other words, there'll be chalos for just a moment, but the hafara laid down in the beginning is now going to knock it out. Good. So those are our two studim of Rabbi Eliezer, And so far this morning, we now discovered the Chachamim themselves are unsure. Good. So now the Gemara continues, Amar Lahem Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says to them, so here in this Brisa that we're quoting now, so Rabbi Eliezer gets a turn, right? So far, all we've been hearing is dismissal, dismissal, dismissal. A number of Brises that have the Chachamim, knocking on Rabbi Eliezer. And so now over here, Rabbi Eliezer is going to marshal a defense for his cause. Amalem Rabbi Eliezer umazrayim tameim kem shazar mekarka tahorim. So zrayim tameim. Okay, so you have seeds that become tame. Okay, food can become tame. We all know. Right? The food has to first come into contact with a liquid, and then it's mukshel lekabel tuma, and then it comes into contact with an ava tuma. It doesn't have to be an ava, it could be a vlad as well. Anyway, food can become tame. So let's say I have seeds that became tame. What do I do with the seeds that became tame? I plant them in the ground. Okay. What do we know? So, and it's funny, I know we had a lengthy discussion earlier in this Masechta about seeds that don't degenerate. We talked about the onion bulb extensively. Okay, but if we could put that aside for a moment, not just a moment, but in other words, typically what happens to your seeds, they decompose. And so therefore, whatever grows is totally new. The seed was tameh, the new growth is tahor. And whose position is this? Everybody's position. No one argues with that position. So, Amar Lehem Rebbe Lazar, Umazraim tameim kevin shazarim bekarka tahorim. So when I take a seed which is tameh and I put it into the ground, they become tahor. Zruim ve'omdim. Look, kol shekein. So let's say they're now planted already and they come into contact with tuma. So lo kol shekein, how much more are they going to become impervious to tuma? Okay. So if the act of planting is a way to be metaher, so when they're already planted, that also is going to be a preventative for tuma. Okay. Okay. So what we're hearing now in the Braisa is that that we seem to have an argument put together by Rabbi Eliezer that tells us that if something can break the tuma, in other words, with an act of planting, so when it's already planted, that's a preventative for towards tuma. Good. Again, by the way, what definitely requires some of our attention is the fact that the Chachamim would seem to agree to this point. But then if the Chachamim would seem to agree with this point, so how are they going to make a distinction between this and Nedarim? Hold that thought. We're going to come back to that in just a moment. But meanwhile, over here, what are we looking at right now? So again, we're doing one thing today, and that is that we're trying to ascertain what exactly is the real position Rabbi Eliezer. Hafara as a preventative. How does he view it? So Shema Minah Lochailin. So in other words, the way he's viewing it clearly in this Bryce over here, is that there's no chalos whatsoever. In other words, the act of planting is going to prevent tuma. So when it's planted, it will not be chal at all. Oh, okay, good. So it sounds pretty clear from this braisa, the way Rabbi Eliezer is constructing his argument, mamash, there's no chalos. V'rabban lo dashi kav v'chomer. Okay. I'm sorry. Period. Okay. Shmamin alo chaylin. Period at that point in time. Okay, so certainly it sounds like from this last raya that we brought that according to Rabbi Eliezer, a proper way to understand it is that mamshir is no chalos. Okay. V'rabbanan lo dashi kav v'chomer. Now, as far as this argument is concerned, you mean to tell me that the Chachamim never entertained this argument? That if something can break, then it could be certainly used as a preventative? So the Gemara says, consider the following. V'atanya. So one might have thought that you could sell your daughter when she's a nara. Okay, we know that when your daughter is a katana, you have the right to sell her. Okay, the sale of the daughter, I know it doesn't doesn't work out so much in the 21st century, neither the 20th century as well. But in other words, the Torah gives the father the right to sell off his daughter. Sale of the daughter is in fact going to be for an ami ivriya, but eventually it's going to be for marriage. Okay, right, when we learn Kedushin, we'll do much more of this discussion. Meanwhile, when is the statute of limitations? When can the father sell his daughter? Up to, but not including her being a Naira. Now, it's interesting, by the way, because I know we spent a good part of this parak going over how when she's a Naira, she's under the jurisdiction of her father. That's true, but that's as far as Nedarim are concerned. As far as his ability to sell her, he cannot sell her when she's a Naira. How do we know that? So over here, it's going to be an argument. A very simple argument. So kishinara amar kavachomer mechura kvar yotzein e yotza ena mechura eno din shaloti maker. Because let's say she sold while she was a katana and then she becomes a naira. You know what happens when she becomes a naira? Cheres, she goes free. Now again, what the buyer should have done at that point in time is married her, or he should have had his son marry her. Okay, but in other words, for whatever reason that didn't happen. So what happens is cheres, she goes free at her becoming a naira. And so if she goes free at being a naira, so for sure ain no din shaloti makir. Certainly the father no longer has the right to sell her while she's a naira. So over here, this argument of if something can go ahead and break the sale, so then for sure it'll be a preventative altogether. Naira will be a preventative altogether. If it could break the sale that was done previously, it could certainly serve as a preventative if no sale has occurred as of yet. Okay, good. So the so what do I see over here? This argument, which the Chachamim have been knocking all of yesterday's daf and most of today's daf, and meanwhile, the Chachamim are using exactly this argument in terms of giving us the statute of limitations of when a father could sell his daughter. So in Ba'amah Darshi Kavachomer, so the Gemara says like this. Okay, so here's what we're going to say, that really the Chachamim like the Kavachomer. In other words, there's nothing wrong with the Kavachomer. If something can go ahead and break it, it can also be used as a preventative as well. Good. Like the Kavachomer, it's a good Kavachomer. And then, Vishani Acha, Damakra, Ishai Kemenu, Ishai Ferenu, Esha Balachla Hakem, Balachla Hafer, Shalom Balachla Hakem, Lo Balachla Hafer. And now we get to hear for a second day in a row. Over here, it's going to be different. Why is it going to be different over here? Hekesh. Because I have the Hekesh. So the Kavachomer in of itself is good. The argument is a good argument. And not only is it a good argument, the Chachamim will use it in other areas of Halacha, but over here they're not going to use it simply because we have a Hekesh. And like we said yesterday, and we're saying again today, a Hekesh is going to trump the Kavachomer. Hekesh is stronger than the Kavachomer. And it certainly makes you wonder, the Rabbi Eliezer, in other words, he knows there's a Hekesh as well. So what the Gemara doesn't do is the Gemara doesn't take us through what's Rabbi Eliezer thinking, meaning what is he going to do? He's going to just simply dismiss the Hekesh. That's a little bit challenging to do. He's going to relearn the Hekesh. That's possible. Okay. So there's much to consider in terms of the back and forth over here. And Adkan, that takes us to the end of I was going to say a really long sugya. It's not a terribly long sugya. It just happens to be that these dapim are so short that this is day two of us learning it. But if you chazer, it really will take you just a couple minutes to chazer the entire sugya. Good. All right. So, how far as a preventative? Rabbi Elazar says you can use it as a preventative, and the Chachamim say no. And it goes without saying that we do follow like the Chachamim, that you can't use Hafara as a preventative. Hafara can only be used after the Nedra has been made. Adkan. Okay, next topic of discussion, and that is that you're on the clock to be Mefer. Meaning when you hear the Neder, so you have one day to be Mefer the Neder. Now I say one day, we all know one day could be broken down into so many different ways. In other words, one day could be Meisleis, it could be 24 hours. One day could just be to the end of today's halachic day. When the Torah says that you have one day in order to be Mefer, so what exactly does that mean? That's right. That's right. It's a machlokas. Okay. But at least, okay, fine. But today we're going to learn the machlokas together right now for the second half of today's daf, and we're going to paskin. It's going to be really simple. It's going to be really straightforward. Although it is a machlokas between the Tanayim. At the same time, however, the Gemara is going to arrive at a very sound conclusion. How far is Nadarim Kol Hayom? So you have a far as Nadarim until the end of the day. Now, the end of the day meaning the way you and I talk about a day. Meaning, what's today? Monday? Wow, it's Monday already. So today's Monday. So if a Neder was made this morning, you'll have until nightfall tonight. Again, I'm not 100% sure if we're talking about Shkia, if we're talking about sunset, if we're talking about nightfall. Either way. In other words, you have until the end of today. Okay? Once tonight rolls around, that's it. Your ability to be Mefer has now come to a conclusion. You can't be Mefer. How far is Nadam called a Yom Yesh Badavar Lahaka Lahachmir? Now, what does that mean? It means that the amount of time that you have to be Mefer is going to fluctuate depending on when the neder was made. So Ketzad, Nadra Balayla Shabbos, Yafer Balayla Shabbos, Viyama Shabbos, Ashatech Shach. So let's say she made the neder Friday night. Now, as Aran points out over here, we could have given any day as an example. The Mishnah chose Shabbos because obviously it wants to highlight that because you have but one day to do so, you can do it on Shabbos. Okay? Because after Shabbos, you simply won't have the opportunity to do so. So if she made it Friday night, you have almost 24 hours to be made for the neder. Nadra im chashecha meifa shalot techshach. Let's say we're right around Shal Shudas and she makes a neder then. So you have maybe an hour to go ahead and be made for the neder. Shim chashcha v'lo eifer neyachol hafer. So in other words, when we say you have a day, it means really to the end of the halachic day, which means that it could be anywhere within the range of up to 24 hours, or it could be just a couple minutes, depending on when she makes the neder. Really simple. Now, I told you before starting the Mishnah, it's a machlokas. And the Mishnah sounds pretty clear. The Mishnah didn't present a machlokas. I know. The Braisa will. Tanya. Hafar sedarim kol hayom. So the Braisa tells us that you have the whole day, meaning the whole halachic day. And Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar Meisleis, they say no. They have 24 hours. In other words, mark exactly when the neder was made, and you have 24 hours to do so, to be made for my time at the Tanakama Amakra, Yom Shamo. Now, Tanakama, who says that you have the till the end of the halachic day. So the pasuk says, Biyom Shamo. So the, Virabana, my time at Dechsiv, Miyom El Yom. And as far as the Rabbanan are concerned, the Rabbanan over here means the pair of Tamid Chachamim, the pair of Tanaim that we just cited. So you have 24 hours. It says Miyom El Yom. Yom El Yom usually means 24 hours. So basically what we have are conflicting psukim that give us different indications of how long you have to be made for the neder. So the Gemara says, the Tanakhama will tell you the following. Yom HaYom is necessary. Because if all I had was the pasuk of Biyom Shamo, I would have thought Yom means only day, daytime. Daytime as opposed to nighttime. So, Ksiv Mi Yom HaYom is therefore, Ksiv Mi Yom HaYom. Mi Yom HaYom tells me that you can even do it at night as well. Okay? A number of times in Halacha where the word Yom, right, it does get confusing, admittedly. Right, sometimes Yom actually means during the actual daytime itself. Right, I'm thinking the Gemara, the second parak of Megillah, where there, right, numerous drashas that tells us that Yom has to be specifically during daytime. So, okay. So if the Torah would have said, be Yom Shamo, I would have thought, Hafer can only be done during the daytime. Good. Kamash Malan. Mi Yom El Yom tells me that it can be done at night. Uleman Darmi Mi Yom El Yom Aksi Be Yom Shamo. And now, according to Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar, who say that you have 24 hours, what are they going to do with the phrase Be Yom Shamo? If I had miyom el yom, I would have thought from Monday to Monday. Meaning, I would have set up shot in the pasuk that you have a week. That miyom el yom. So miyom shamo comes to tell me, no, that's not the correct shot. What's the correct shot? 24 hours. See miyom shamo. Okay. So good. So classic Gemara over here. We have a brice. We have a machlokus amongst the Tanaim. Exactly how long you have to be made for a neder. It's either till the end of the halachic day or it's 24 hours, depending on who you follow. And oh, by the way, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, I'm Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, ain't halachiko so azok. The halacha does not follow like the pair, meaning not like Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer, but rather like the Tanakhama, like our Stam Mishnah, that you have to the end of the halachic day. Okay. And just to finish today's daf, just a couple of quick points over here. Levi Savar Lemeavikani tonight. So, Levi thought that we should be following like those tonight, meaning he thought you have 24 hours. So, Amar Le Rav, Hachi Amar Chavivi. This is what my uncle said, right? Whenever Rav refers to his uncle, he calls him Chavivi. Chavivi is a reference to Rabbi Chia. Rabbi Chia was the uncle of Rav. And so he's quoting his uncle. Ein halacha ka'osa azog. Nope. The halacha does not fall like that pair. Meaning that you don't have 24 hours, you'll have to the end of the day. And then the Gemara gives us two more piskas over here, two more psak halachas at the end of today's daf, and I'm going to say it over like the Ran. Okay, it's not the only way to say it over, but you know I've been pretty consistent in this masechta following the Ran, and so over here I'm going to say it over like the Ran, and that is Chia Barav Shadi Gira Badik, that when someone went over to him for not hafara, but rather for Ataras Nadarim. Okay, so in other words, you have to go to a chacham. The chacham has to go ahead and figure out, did you know about X, Y, and Z at the time you made the neder? In other words, the Pesach, which we already discussed at length in the previous parak. So, when Chir Barav went ahead and handled it, so in other words, he gave it his full attention, right? The Ran says that's exactly the point of the Gemara. He didn't need to give it his full attention, right? He was shooting arrows. I'm not really sure what he was doing while shooting arrows. Okay, practicing bullseye, not sure. Hunting, that sounds a little bit strange. Anyway, it doesn't matter. The way the Ron says it over is that over here he was shooting arrows. Someone came over to him and said, look, I have an edit to make. And he didn't stop shooting arrows. And he's like, okay. Right, and there he is shooting arrows. He's like, let me hear the nether. And he didn't give it his full attention. And the Ron goes on to explain, why didn't he give it his full attention? It sounds like something that you have to stop and you have to give your full attention. So the way the Ron understands it is because it goes back to a point that we discussed earlier. When you make a Pesach, can you make a Pesach using Charata? In other words, at the time when you made the nether, right, did you fully understand how much you would regret have made the nether? Can regret be used as a Pesach? So if you remember, this was a point of controversy that we discussed earlier in the Perek. And some say yes and some say no. Now, if you happen to be of the position yes, easy. Meaning, obviously, when someone's coming to you and saying, boy, oh boy, do I not want this neder. And you ask him, if you understood at the time when you made the neder, how much you would have regretted it, would you have made the neder? And the answer would be yes. Okay, that's it. You can extricate him from the neder. It doesn't take that much. In other words, it's not that hard to figure out. So because Chiyur Barav would allow somebody to be poseach b'charata, so therefore, he didn't have to, he still went on shooting arrows while listening to a Pesach. And similarly, Rava Barav Huna, Yasav Ikaim, Rava Barav Huna, so when he, if he were sitting or he was standing, he wouldn't change his position. Meaning, well, no, just I'm here. Just tell me the neder. Let's go over this. And the Ron says the same thing as well. So the Omeid v'Yoshev k'moshahaya mizdamin lo. However you found him, in other words, that's it. He was ready to take the shaila. He was ready to hear the neder. And again, same idea. In other words, he didn't need to give his full attention for Pesach. Pesach wasn't that hard to do if you subscribe to the position of posting b'charata. Good. Let's quickly recap. Let's review. I know it's a really short daf today. Let's review today's daf. Okay, so we concluded today. It took more than half of today's daf. We concluded today regarding making a hafara in advance. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer, which we don't follow, like, but Shitas Rabbi Eliezer is hafara can be done in advance. And again, the argument which we spent the entire day discussing, if hafara can be used after the neder is here, so for sure it could be used as a preventative. Okay. So again, good argument, not a good argument. It's certainly something worth considering. Well, the Gemara spent 2 days considering this argument. So anyway, but the pshat in Rabbi Eliezer is either as a preventative, it doesn't allow for the neder to be chal at all. Alternatively, the neder will be chal for a moment, but then the hafara that was placed in advance is going to go ahead and knock it out. Which is the correct understanding of Rabbi Eliezer? That was the discussion of most of today's daf. And that already is a continuation of yesterday's daf. The Gemara asks the question on the Amud Aleph of yesterday's daf. Ibai Lahu, L'Rev Elazar. Good. And so at the halfway through today's daf, the Gemara does arrive at a conclusion, and that is no chalos. In other words, we quoted the example of Zerah, where if I plant it in the ground, it'll remove the tumah. So if it's already planted in the ground, it prevents it from becoming tame at all. So you see that the argument of Rav Elazar, the way he expresses it, is that it's serving as a preventative to prevent it bichlal. There's no chalos whatsoever. Good. What the Gemara does halfway through the daf today is that it wonders the Chachamim reject the argument altogether. The Gemara concludes, no, the Chachamim don't reject the argument altogether. In fact, the Chachamim use this argument in the case of Naira. And when can a father go ahead and sell his daughter only up to Katana, but not by Naira? And they used exactly this argument in order to make that point. So you see that the Chachamim do in fact like the argument, just not over here. Why not over here? Because we have a Hekesh. And the Hekesh goes ahead and trumps the Kal V'chomer. That was part one of today's daf and part two of today's daf. So we went over the time limit in terms of when the husband can be made for the neder. And that is he has till the end of the day. So what does that mean? Machlokas Tanaim, according to our Mishnah, according to the Tanakhama, the Braisa, you have until the end of today's halachic day. And that means that it could be anywhere within the range of 24 hours to 1 hour, even less, depending on when the neder was made. If the neder was made on the night prior, So you have almost 24 hours. If the neder was made an hour before Shkia, you have less than an hour, about an hour to go ahead and be made for the neder. Okay. So and Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Eliezer disagree. They say that you have 24 hours. It's Meis Leis. And the Gemara concludes that that's not the halacha. The halacha is like our Mishnah, that you have until the end of the halachic day.